To turn your Bibles for a moment this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew's Gospel, the 25th chapter, and beginning in verse number 1. Matthew 24 and 25, the Lord answers some questions. The disciples had came to him and asked about when the end of the world would be and what would be the signs of his coming. And Jesus began to answer many of those questions. And then in chapter 25, he gives some illustrations and parables about the kingdom of God and his second coming. And beginning in verse 1 of chapter 25, he said, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were fully foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarrieth, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherewith the Son of Man cometh. Our Father, we thank you today that we have this opportunity that we can assemble ourselves here today and watch it and work it for you today, dear Lord, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. That, Lord, that as we endeavor this morning to look into your word, as we hope today you teach us by your spirit, we ask the Lord, dear Lord, today that everything that we do and everything that we say, that Jesus Christ be exalted and to him be given all the credit, for it was him who loved us and gave himself for us. And we ask that he be glorified in our service today. We thank you now for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. There were years ago during a basketball game when I was at the scores table keeping the book. There was a new coach had begun coaching the team that was playing and the visiting team, and they began to have a full court press on her team, and she looked over at the boys' coach who was sitting on the bench with her and said, What am I going to do? And he said, Well, you got to put your press offense in. And she said, I don't have one. He said, Ain't a whole lot you can do then. She was unprepared. And you see today there's a lot of folks that are unprepared today. The scout's motto is be prepared. And, you know, we prepare for many things. Most of the time, students will study and prepare for the tests that they're given in school. Athletes prepare themselves for the games and competition that they will face. Many of us today and many of you have already prepared for your burial and made plans for your funeral. Kevin's mother and dad-in-law have already paid for their funeral. I'm going to let my children pay for mine, but they've already went down and made all the arrangements for the burial and their funeral and what will take place during that time. We prepare for disaster and accidents by taking insurance and building storm shelters and many other things in life that we prepare for. Well, I wonder today how many are unprepared for the Lord's return. You see, Jesus today is coming again. I believe that with all of my heart today, that beyond any shadow of a doubt, beyond any thing today that we could think or ask, Jesus Christ is coming again. There's absolutely no doubt about that one great fact that we need to realize this morning. You know, several years ago, there was a young preacher, and he was going to preach on "Behold, I cometh." And so that morning he got up into the pulpit, and he kindly backed up, and he said, "Behold, I cometh," and he forgot what he was going to say. And so he backed up again, and he yelled real loud, "Behold, I cometh," and once again he forgot his next line. And so he backed up one more time, and he said, "Behold, I cometh." And he was going so hard the pulpit went over, and he tumbled over into the lap of this woman sitting on the front pew. And he looked up and said, "Ma'am, I'm so sorry." And she said, "Well, I should have known you warned me three times." And so, you know, today the Lord's warning us in His Word today that He's coming again. We need to take that warning to heart this morning. You see, the Lord's coming is going to catch many unprepared. Even though today that the Scripture tells us, and even though the Lord has warned us over and over, and even though today we can look around and see many of the signs of the times, we can find this morning that many are unprepared and are going to be called unprepared by the coming of the Lord. The Bible says that one shall be taken and another left. Can you imagine standing talking to someone about the day's events? Talking to someone about something that happened yesterday, and all at once that individual is gone. Can you imagine today walking down through the factory with someone, and suddenly that individual just disappears? I used to like to watch the show Without a Trace, where they would try to find when someone disappeared, and they would, at the opening of the movie, they would be standing there, and then they would just gradually disappear. And I thought, one day the Lord's coming, and that's kind of the way it's going to be. We're going to be here, and then we're going to be gone. We're going to disappear and be forever with the Lord. But many today are unprepared today to meet Jesus in the air. Because you see, only those who are prepared today, only those today who have prepared their way will meet with the Lord in the air this morning. Now, in our text this morning, in our chapter, we find some things I want you to look at real carefully with me and very quickly. First of all, we see some wise and some foolish virgins. Now, it's talking here about a wedding that was to take place. And, you know, Jesus always showed up at weddings. Isn't that a great thing? Weddings today are part of Scripture. Weddings today are part of the Word of God. And today, there's nothing wrong with weddings. We should have weddings today. And in this day and society in which we live, people are seemingly doing away with those. But let me get off of that. Anyway, in the Scripture, weddings are normally held in the nighttime. And there would be a great procession of the bridegroom as he headed to the marriage. And they would come and they would have a great parade down to the place of the marriage. And then they would go in and the marriage would take place. And we find that there would, in this great procession, there would be virgins. There would be bridesmaids, I guess we could kindly say today, who would have lighted lamps. There would be lamps upon a pole with a wick that would light the way and show the way to the wedding. And then light the place where the wedding was held this morning. But you see, we find today that here were some foolish virgins today. They had their lamps, but they were empty. They didn't have any oil in them today. You see, they meant to be ready, but they weren't. I want to say to you today, there's a lot of people in this world this morning who mean to be ready, but they aren't. They've been warned. They know the Lord is coming. These people knew the bridegroom was coming. They knew what was going to take place. They knew all the facts and all of the figures, and they could tell you all of the prompt and the circumstance. They knew all of the rites and rituals today. And they meant to be ready. You know, there's a lot of people out in this world today, when you begin to talk to them, they believe in the Lord's return. They say, "Well, you know, I believe that." If you were to go to them and begin to talk to them, they don't know, might not know a lot of detail, but they expect the Lord to return. but they're not prepared. They're unprepared. Just like these foolish virgins. You see, they knew everything that was going to take place. They knew exactly what was going to happen this morning. And yet, even though they knew everything, they weren't prepared when the bridegroom came. I can imagine when they got there and they looked around, they said, well, we better go get us some oil. Well, we've got plenty of time. Let's just sit down and have a conversation for a while. Let's sit down and gossip for a few minutes. Let's sit down and enjoy a glass of water. Let us sit down and just have a meal. Let us just sit down and have some conversation. We've got plenty of time. The bridegroom won't be for a while. And they were sitting there and suddenly they got sleepy and they went off to sleep and suddenly a midnight cry came and they didn't have any oil. You know, there's a lot of people today who are saying, I've got to get ready. You know, I'll get up next Sunday and go to church. I'm going to get right with the Lord next week. I'm going to get everything lined up in my life. I'm going to get prepared. You know? But suddenly something else takes place and it just begins. They get too busy. They get to doing this. They get to doing that. And suddenly, one of these days, the midnight cry is going to come. And they're going to be unprepared to meet the Lord. They're going to be unprepared for Jesus to come again. You see, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow and not yesterday. Today is the day of salvation. Several years ago, I was passing another church and a young man had gotten married, and the young man had gotten saved before they got married, and his wife had been a member of the church for ever since she was a little girl, and you know, I went by to visit him, and then she got saved, and I went by and I was talking. I said, "Well, what happened?" And she said, "Well, you know, we got married," and I said, "Yes," and she said, "One night we went to bed," and she said, "I'd been under conviction. I knew that I wasn't saved; that I was just a member of the church; that I wasn't prepared for the Lord to come again," and she said, "You've been preaching on Revelation, and that I've been hearing about the Lord, and I knew I needed to get ready." And she said, "One night I woke up and looked over, and her husband wasn't in the bed with her. And they lived in a real small house, and she said, I jumped up and I ran in the bathroom, and he wasn't there. I went into the kitchen, and he wasn't there. And she said, I just sat down and began to scream, the Lord's come, and I've been left behind. And she said, then I heard something. I opened the back door, and he was sitting on the back steps eating Rice Krispies." I thought about calling it the Rice Krispies sermon. But she was scared to death because she thought she'd been left. She wasn't prepared to meet the Lord. Let me tell you, you better not put it off. That could have been real, folks. It could have been the Lord could have come, and he could have been gone, and she could have been left. You see, this morning, the Bible says, and we'll see in a moment, we don't know when he's coming. We just know that he is today. We need to get ready. It's foolish to delay, and so many folks are doing too many other things, and they're too busy, and they're too busy, and they're too busy. One guy said, "Well, I'm just too busy." I said, "Are you too busy to die?" Now think about that. Are we too busy to die? I don't think so, because when the Lord calls, guess what? You're going to go. We're never too busy to die. But you see, the wise were ready. They knew and they were prepared for the bridegroom to come. I heard about a man that was out in the backwoods, and I could identify with this individual. I remember one time several years ago, I was coming from Fulton, and Desi and I lived over around Nettleton. And I thought, well, I'll cut through there by Big Oak Church, and I'll just go home and eat dinner. And I got over in there, and I got turned and twisted around, and I went by Carsville Baptist Church on every direction. I finally got out of there. This man was kind of like I was, and he stopped this country store, and he said, do you know where Smith Barnes Road is? And the guy said, nope. He said, well, do you know where and he called the name of church is? He said, nope. He said, well, do you know where John Smith lives? He said, nope. He said, look at the old man. He said, you don't know much, do you? He said, I ain't lost. We may not know much, but I ain't lost. Amen?
Amen.
That's what these wise virgins were. They may not have known everything, but they knew enough to be prepared for the Lord to come today. That's what makes a fellow wise today. That's what makes a person wise, is that we know the Lord's coming, and so we're ready for the Lord to come. But then I want you to notice something else in this parable, and this is very, very, very horrifying in one way. And that's the last phrase of verse 10. Notice what it said. And the door was shut. And the door was shut. You know, there's some other places in the scripture that this is used, but the one that comes to my mind is over in the book of Genesis when Noah built the ark. The Bible said that Noah and his family went in and the animals went in. And after 7 days, God shut the door. The door was shut. Now there's a finality to those words. A finality to those words. The door was shut. It literally means to be locked and not to be opened this morning. Those on the inside were safe. Those on the inside were secure. But those on the outside were unable to enter. You see, the Bible tells us today that we have a door to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the door. Jesus is the door to heaven, folks. And the only way we'll ever get into heaven is through the door of Jesus Christ. That, of course, speaks to us of God's grace and God's love and God's mercy. We just sang a few moments ago, oh, how I love Jesus. Why? Because He first loved me. And the grace of God and the Son of God today is the way and the only door into heaven. And that door is open. And whosoever will may come. Now, have you ever thought about the ark? And it's sitting there. Noah and his family are sitting in the ark waiting to go. Everything is ready. The Bible said Noah had been preaching for 120 years. And people could pass by and see the open door of the ark. Find no flaming cherubims, no anything that would keep them out. All they had to do was avail themselves of the grace of God and go in the ark. He said, well, that would have been dumb. I'd have gotten that ark. I doubt it. You see, the same door's open today, and that's the grace of God of Jesus Christ into heaven, and so many people walk by. They don't prepare. Those people didn't prepare for the flood, but the time came when the Bible said God shut the door, and they were destroyed in the flood that covered the earth. One of these days, the door of grace, the door of Jesus, is going to be shut. And the judgment of God is going to fall upon this world. The Bible said it's literally going to be hell upon this earth today when it comes. You see, when the door is shut, you'll not receive another chance. There's no second chance today with the Lord. I don't know, death could claim us and the door's shut. But see, when the Lord's returned, and He may return today, I don't know. All the signs are pointing to that, but the Lord's return. You see, and the door will be shut. That's a great tragedy today. There's a phrase over in the Old Testament. It talks about Ephraim. And God said, leave him alone. It's over. The door is shut. The door is shut. But when the Lord comes, the door is shut, folks. We better be prepared to meet the Lord. One other thing I want you to see real quickly with me. And Jesus said in verse 13, watch. Watch. That means to pay careful attention. Not that we take a glance every now and then, but that today we pay very careful attention that it catch us unawares. Several years ago, when Bill Payne was the pastor at Trace Road, and most of you knew Brother Bill, and I'd go down to see him every once in a while, and I went down one Friday, and son, he was working himself to death. His wife had been gone to Michigan to see her parents for a week. And she was very prestigious, I guess you could say. I mean, everything had to be just right, you know. All the forks had to be on the right side and all that stuff. I don't know which side they go on, but everything had to be just right. And Brother Bill's kind of like me. He was from the hills of North Carolina. He kind of was a slob, just to be honest with you. And he went an entire week, hadn't washed dishes, hadn't done anything. And she was coming in the next day, and he was getting ready. He was folding up towels. He wouldn't even let me help him fold up towels, because it had to be folded a certain way. I said, well, Bill, what are you going to do if that plane's early? He said, I'm dead. Tell you something, you better be ready for the Lord to come. It's going to be worse than death. It's going to be the second death. It's going to be the lake of fire. Watch. You better pay careful attention to what you're doing. Make sure, absolutely certain, that you're ready for the Lord to come again. That's what Jesus is teaching us here. He said, watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We don't know when the Lord's coming, but we know that He is. And we better be ready for the coming of the Lord. An old hymn, and one of the lines of it says, unprepared to meet Him. Oh, how foolish to be unprepared to meet thy God. Are you prepared for the Lord to come again today? I would call this today the tragedy of nearly making it. They nearly made it, but not quite. Not quite. How sad to face the judgment unprepared to meet thy God. All right, if you'll stand with me, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we're together. We ask you to take this very simple message, that you use it today for the honor and glory of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Lord, we ask you today, dear Lord, that one that's not prepared, Lord, you might touch their hearts, you might speak to their soul, you might show them that Jesus is still the open door. In His wonderful holy name I pray. Amen.